Keeping up with the Joneses. What does that even mean? We're going to talk a little bit about the AFC preseason takeaways from week one. Before we do, we want to make sure you're following us across the board. We know you're watching. You're coming out. We see the video follows. We want to make sure you're also following us on Razzball Fantasy because we're dropping this almost daily now. All the shows you need to win your fantasy leagues heading up to your drafts this August and early September. But also, if you want to see daily content, other daily content, we have Razzball Fantasy on IG and TikTok as well. But of course, the most important, go to Razzball.com. Not only are we doing baseball, basketball, and hockey all year round, but of course, it's football season, folks. So go to Razzball.com. We have great articles, a bunch of new writers that are writing great content, and we have a bunch of old guys coming back and helping us out too as well. But make sure you go to Razzball.com to check out all the latest tools. ADP tool that we have is fantastic for your drafting. Help you with strategy. So go check out all the tools and articles over on Razzball.com. But without further ado, let's start the show. Well, I'd like to welcome in my co-host for today. It's the one and only Keelan Blue. You can follow her at Keelan_12-foot on Twitter. What's going on, Keelan?
Not much. What's going on with you, Bobby?
You know what, Keelan? It's been a while. It's been a couple weeks. And I think the people, we got a lot of comments. They want you back on the show. I was like, all right, got to give the people what they want. So yeah. I brought you in for some AFC preseason week one takeaways. If you haven't watched yesterday's episode, we did the NFC edition. So go check it out. Yesterday's show, we talked a little bit about some Atlanta Falcons, Eagles, 49ers takeaways with Sky Gawaska. But today we bring Keelan on to talk about the AFC. And let's start at the top. It looks like the Indianapolis Colts might have a different wide receiver too than what we're drafting currently in our fantasy drafts. It's Paris Campbell looks to be the wide receiver too. And Indy played mostly in two receiver sets over Alex Pierce. So tell us why this is one of your biggest takeaways.
Yeah, exactly. So I picked this one because the Colts have been missing Paris Campbell. He had a hamstring injury, and he was kind of unknown what was going to happen to him. And, you know, without him, it's been a struggle. So kind of now in this Matt Ryan era, how is Paris Campbell going to be? How is he going to come back from his injury? What is that going to look like? So he's been performing well in training camp, looking really good. But then in the Colts' first preseason game this week, you know, he didn't do his best work, which, Bobby, I know you said you're a little worried about what I was going to say. But yeah, you know, he was targeted for two passes and he ended up dropping one of them and not being able to get them. So, you know, even though it was kind of a lackluster preseason appearance overall, you know, there's a spot definitely for him in this new Matt Ryan era. And without him, you know, I don't think it's looking good. So if that's somebody you're targeting to draft, you know, don't let the preseason freak you out about him because there's definitely more opportunities there for him.
Yeah, and the fact that he's going 50 picks behind Alex Pierce doesn't make a lot of sense, especially if he's in the two receiver set. So I do think that there's something there. But have you had any thoughts about Alex Pierce, for example?
You know, I feel like we don't know enough right now about him. And I do feel like we were kind of just talking about preseason, it's not really the best indicator sometimes of performance. And I feel like maybe had the Paris Campbell or somebody had the nerves, he was a little shaky. I feel like his training camp performance is more indicative of things. So in terms of Alec Pierce, you know, for me, it's like, I would like to see how he does in more games, but 50 picks ahead seems generous.
Yes. And honestly, we should listen, it's only the first week of preseason.
Right.
We're going to get a couple more weeks before we have to make a lot of our main drafts come after the third week of the preseason, but we have to go what we've seen so far. So I do want to bring this up as well. Next one is what Jamison Crowder plays with the second team while Isaiah McKenzie sits with the starters. Now, this one I wanted to point out because there's a lot of camp reports that Isaiah McKenzie has really taken the next step. Cole Beasley's out of town, and that slot receiver role is up for grabs. Now, early on when they signed Jamison Crowder, I immediately thought Crowder's going to take that job, and McKenzie's going to keep that satellite role. However, when you're watching this, first off, you know who didn't play in this game? Josh Allen, Devin Singletary, Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, and guess who? Isaiah McKenzie. And to me, that says something. The fact that he's sitting with those other elite players on the Bills offense, it means something. In the last one game that Cole Beasley was out last year, he went 11 catches for 125 yards and a touchdown. The only game he played over 50% of the snaps last year. So when he got the work, he was awesome. Cole Beasley's 17-game pace for his in the 3 years in Buffalo was 120 targets and 11.8 PPR points per game. This is a guy that's like wide receiver three numbers, and you're going to get Isaiah McKenzie with your last pick. So I think this is something I want to monitor. I don't think it's over yet. I don't think the race is over, but early indication says Isaiah McKenzie should be a guy you take with your last pick because of the Buffalo Bills offense. Any thoughts on that one?
I actually had picked up Jamison Crowder in my draft, so I'm kind of like, oh, good to know. So now I will be looking at this. That is my thought about that.
All right, let's jump on to the next one. So Isaiah Pacheco, I think we got Pacheco. I think we got it.
Sorry, we have been trying. We don't know.
we went back and forth for five minutes before the show, trying to figure this out. Anyway, he gets play time with the first team. We heard it all training camp that this guy was standing out, and now we saw it in the preseason game, him getting it. He was the next backup after CEH. So talk to us on why you wanted to highlight this for the show.
Yeah. So again, this is kind of, I mean, he's a rookie, so it's one of those like kind of unknowns, and you know, everybody's kind of in on CEH, which never heard him call it that. But that was awesome. So I'm going to call him that now too. So behind CEH, Pacheco played three snaps and he did take a catch, which was pretty awesome. And he actually got hit by a Bears defender and managed to stay balanced. So, I mean, you know, that's pretty impressive for kind of a first go around this year, even though it's preseason. So, you know, the thing about him is there's been a lot of hype around him, even though he was drafted 251st. I think Chiefs fans are really big on him, so it appears at least. But yeah, I mean, it seems interesting because the hype seemed overhyped, but now it seems to really be there. So I definitely am keeping my eye on him now. I mean, when you're playing with Patrick Mahomes, you know, that's pretty interesting to get a catch from him. So very excited to watch him.
And this could also be indicative for CEH, right? Because like if the backup running back's like a day three, seventh round pick and not Ronald Jones, who a lot of people thought was going to take his job, you might even be more confident in drafting CEH as well in the sixth round of your fantasy draft. So any thoughts on that for CEH?
I think for me personally, I like him. I mean, he's been around for a while and it's hard to not feel kind of safe with him. So I guess if I had to choose, I would still be picking him, you know, but I think it's interesting to watch here and have another option and be able to go from there. I love rookies and how they surprise us. And being in on them early enough is wonderful. And I definitely think, again, this is one folks should be watching.
All right, let's jump down to our next topic. Garrett Wilson plays behind Davis Moore and Berrios. Okay, so I understand it's the first preseason game, and we shouldn't just immediately run for the hills. But there's been comments by Robert Saleh that basically said he compliments – it's like a compliment sandwich with Garrett Wilson. He says, like, yes, the kid's explosive, but he still needs to learn the offense a little bit more and the techniques, but we really like him. And he does this constantly if you watch the comments he makes about Garrett Wilson. Well, then the Jets go on the field. You know, of course, Zach Wilson gets hurt, but that's another topic for another day. But in that game, the three wide receivers that played the most with Zach Wilson are Elijah Moore, Corey Davis, and Braxton Berrios. Now, Garrett Wilson mixed in, but another key was that those three wide receivers stopped playing after that second series, and Garrett Wilson stayed in with Mike White and the backups for that time. So this is something we have to monitor because now he's currently going outside the top 100. And based on some of the things we've done in the past at Razzball, we know that once you start getting into that 10th, 11th, 12th round for rookie wide receivers, they don't return value as much as the elite guys. And finally, I just want to touch on this too. It's not just because he's a rookie. Because guys like Jahan Dotson, Drake London, Wandale Robinson, and even Alex Pierce to an extent got extensive playing time with the ones, and he did not. So we can't just chalk it up to him being a rookie. So I do think this is notable, and we should watch the second and third preseason games to see if he finally, you know, takes one of those guys out. But it has to be Berrios. So I don't see him taking out Corey Davis or Elijah Moore. So any thoughts about Garrett Wilson?
Yeah, so I think the interesting thing about him to me is, you know, he's quoted as saying that Joe Flacco's passes are easy to catch, which to me is like a little disturbing, especially if you're in a dynasty league, because Joe Flacco is not always going to be there. So that part to me would signal a red flag. Again, especially if it was a dynasty league, maybe for a year, not so much. But I think that is one thing that, again, signals a red flag for me. But also the Zach Wilson stuff is interesting. So.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I like Joe Cool, baby. I think Joe Flacco is going to be better for this offense, believe it or not, because Zach Wilson, we don't really know what he is yet. But I think Joe Flacco is a veteran presence, and his balls are easy to catch, apparently. So that's a thing. So
right.
You know, that's, according to, so that might be better for these receivers on week one, week two, and week three. All right, let's jump down to the next one. Talk about our last one here, and it's Zay Jones, not Marvin Jones. Did you like my thumbnail, by the way?
Yes.
Keep it up
with the
Joneses, huh? Right?
Very clever. Very clever.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was laughing off screen.
Good, good. That's all I like to hear. So other than my bad jokes, let's talk a little bit about Zay Jones, not Marvin Jones, shows promise with Christian Kirk out. So Kirk didn't play. We should, you know, say that first. But with Trevor Lawrence in the lineup, he actually looked very good throwing to Zay Jones, not Marvin Jones. So talk to us a little about why this might be important for fantasy.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, it's nice to be out of this kind of – it's like the stank of the Urban Meyer era is washing away, and we're seeing a little different things here. Zay Jones was ranked the 97th wide receiver, and Marvin Jones was the 75th ADP wide receiver. So, I mean, you know, you have an expectation of Marvin Jones there. And he's still going to be in the mix, obviously, here. He's currently listed as a starter. However, in the preseason game, Trevor Lawrence really connected with Zay Jones. That sounded very romantic, but I didn't mean that way. But maybe it is. We don't know. So he threw and connected a 32-yard pass to Zay Jones at about the midfield. And Zay Jones actually had to kind of work to shake off some defenders there and get free. And he was able to make the catch. And then he also caught another 15-yard pass from Trevor Lawrence. And that was actually the team's only touchdown drive of the game, which is sad, but we're talking about the Jaguars here. This is very, very promising because those were two huge plays. And it sounds like, based off what Doug Peterson saying, they are working well together, not even in just that game, but in practice. So I would expect this relationship to thrive, but also with Marvin Jones there as well. That's obviously, you know, you got two guys. However, Zay Jones could be a steal for folks.
Yeah, and Marvin Jones is over. Yeah, he's over 30 now, and that's always a factor for wide receivers. Christian Kirk is not your I know Christian Kirk, we're excited for him too, but he's not your prototypical number one, who's an outside receiver, dominates targets. He's never been a big target guy. So there's an opening here for another player to be a fantasy asset. And Zay Jones is getting into his prime. He's 27 years old, so that's when wide receivers typically peak. So I'm feeling this one. I actually think Zay Jones is worth – someone drafted him in the Razz Bowl in the last round. I looked, I was like, that's okay. I'm feeling that. I like it.
Nice.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, a couple of other takeaways I want to talk about before we go. The first one is Josh Palmer. Now, Josh Palmer is currently going 100 in the just outside the top 50, but he's rising up draft boards. You go to razzball.com and check out the ADP tool. He's up five spots from last update. And why is this important? Well, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, and Justin Herbert did not play in this game, but Jalen Guyton and Josh Palmer did. And what that tells me is that maybe he doesn't have the stranglehold on that number three job. He did play a lot. They did play double-digit snaps, both of them, and they both played about the same amount. So I don't think it's a slam dunk per se that Palmer is going to be the number three in this offense. And I actually think it makes me feel more confident in Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, as they probably distinguish themselves from the other receivers. But any thoughts about Josh Palmer? Have you taken any Josh Palmer this offseason?
I have not personally taken any Josh Palmer this offseason, and I actually am a pretty big Mike Williams person. So, but I mean, I think, you know, you never really know what's going to happen, especially with this team. It kind of scares me, I guess, a little bit. You know, they're coming off this Super Bowl season, and anything's possible. So I'm going to remain positive about it, but I don't have any strong feelings, I think, either way on this one. I'm going to stick with that agnostic opinion. Falsehoods.
Add me at Mike Williams. We're all good. Honestly, me and DT were talking about it in the ranking show. We're all in on Mike Williams this year. So you're right on brand with Razzball. We love it. All right, one lawyer I want to talk about before we go, Devin Singletary. The reason why I want to bring him up is because he sat with the key stars. And you'll notice the theme of these about these notes is that it's about who's playing and who's not sometimes. Like, there is no Josh Allen. Josh Allen sits. Stephon Diggs sits. Dawson Knox, Gabriel Davis, Isaiah McKenzie, and Devin Singletary. And who plays? James Cook and Zach Moss. I do think Devin Singletary has earned the number one job. I know James Cook has been the rookie. Everyone wants the hotness. He's the passing down back. But the passing down back in the Bills offense has really not been a big role because Josh Allen runs, and they have elite wide receivers and Dawson Knox. So I think Singletary is worth drafting at his 84th ADP. He's on an elite offense with a solid offensive line. But do you have any thoughts about Singletary and maybe this kind of update?
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like where he's at, he's kind of at this point, this is going to sound kind of bad, maybe like a little more replaceable than he's been viewed in the past. But I agree with you that he's going to end up being a starter. However, to me, I wouldn't take him in a draft. I wouldn't take him any earlier than he is at all. Yeah. So, yeah.
Like the 7-8 turn probably makes sense for him. And I don't see people going out of their way to go get him either.
No, me neither. I haven't either.
Yeah, I think the ADP makes sense. So I do agree there for that as well. But that's all we got for today, folks. By the way, this is once again the NFL preseason takeaways, the AFC edition. If you want to see more takeaways, go check out our Razzball Fantasy TikTok and IG. We've been dropping videos over there as well with other additions for the NFC and AFC additional takeaways from week one. But also make sure you're following us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on IG, TikTok, YouTube. And of course, make sure you go to razzball.com for all your needs when it comes to fantasy football. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. I want to thank once again my co-host today, Keelan Blue. You can follow her at Keelan_12FT on Twitter. Thanks for joining. We are out of here.